Three, two, one.
Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the No Normal Show, brought to you by Revive. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm your co-host Ezra Duncan, Vice President of Health Equity and Inclusion at Revive, and I'm joined by co-host Stephanie Weirwill, Senior Vice President of Integrated Marketing. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, Des.
Hello.
Welcome to 2023.
Oh, is she different? Is she better? We shall see. And we're also joined by co-host Chris Wickline, Senior Vice President of Strategy at Revive. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Des. Hi, Stephanie. I have to say, you always do a really great intro. That was a super robust intro that you did with a lot of gusto to it. So awesome.
A lot of history and voice training and voice recording. So know where to put the right emphasis and all that good stuff, but I digress. Excited to be chatting with you all as we're, you know, starting a new subject. You know, each quarter, I guess you could say, or season, we focus on different things. And for this particular season, we're going to be focusing on bold work, bold marketing, bold creative, just bold healthcare. Just being bold in general. So this will be our first conversation on that, where we're looking at, you know, what does make bold marketing? What makes bold work and thinking? So we'll share some of our thoughts from our executive creative director, came up with some thinking around the six commandments to bold creative, and we'll be sharing some of that, as well as some of the work, marketing, and creative that we've seen out in the world that we feel is bold, and some key takeaways that we can use as healthcare marketers for that. But before we jump into that, headlines. We, of course, had the CES, Consumer Electronics Show, in Las Vegas this past week or so. It happens every year in January. It's one of the most exciting times. It's almost like Christmas after Christmas, where you get to see all the new toys, what's coming out, what new shiny thing we should be paying attention to. Honestly, I kind of miss going to it from a, speaking of The Voice, when I was in broadcasting, that was like a highlight to see what kind of new cameras and toys and video equipment and audio equipment was coming out. But that's not what we're talking about, because we're talking about healthcare. So Stephanie, you know, you, all things trends and what's going on, what have you seen coming out of CES 2023 that you're kind of thinking about, excited about, maybe even?
Yeah, you know, what's really awesome is seeing how CES has really progressed from the gadgets, from the toys, from the new shiny cars, although those are still there, absolutely, to a more health focused and especially health tech realm. And last year on our show, we talked a lot about some of the health focused devices, sensors, wearables that came out. And some of what came out this year was incremental growth of that. Like one example, last year we talked a lot about, you know, it made big headlines around the toilet that could, you know, sense issues that you may be having and send them off to your doctor. And there was a progression of that this year with from Whitings that can do like your analysis on the spot in your toilet. So all of that is fun and interesting. And we won't get into all the, you know, the gadgets and the presentations, but one that I thought was really fascinating and shows a picture of the future is a selfie that can actually, or will be able to give you 1,000+ diagnostics about the state of your health. So theoretically, no longer do we need the smart light bulbs in our ceilings and the smart toilet seats and the smart, you know, mattresses and everything else, although that is absolutely continuing to have growth. But imagine being able to take a selfie or walk into a health system and have a selfie taken of you, or airport or wherever, and have instant vital stats like heart rate, blood pressure, mental health related diagnostics, stress, depression levels, body mass index, skin age, level of risk for hypertension, stroke. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. It is fascinating. I'll just pause and see how you all feel about this.
Well, I was going to say, so my big question is, what about the fact that, I mean, most of us don't post like real selfies of us. I mean, let's be honest. You see the selfies, you see the selfies posted online and they're kind of doctored. So, I mean, I guess it just means that you really have to be willing to be your authentic self in that selfie.
Yeah, they might have to take a be real approach to this. I don't know if that came up in any of the things that you had seen, Stephanie.
I think it's less about taking existing selfies of folks, if my understanding is right, and more about, so there's an app called Anora that's part of Neurologic's company, and the app takes a 30-second selfie. So that's why I say, like, imagine at a health system, or like I throw in an airport or a grocery store. Like, you know, in the past, maybe one day we used to walk into a grocery store to hop on the scale or to take our blood pressure, right? You sit down at that blood pressure machine. What if there's a, you know, activation somewhere somehow, but also with this app on your phone, that your doctor asks you to opt into, and you download the app and you take the selfie of yourself. I'm theorizing, but I think it would work something like that.
Yeah, this is interesting to me, just given, you know, our skin, for example, is like our largest organ, right? And it's like one of the first indicators of health. And as I've been thinking about that, and I'm just kind of like walking around like a mall or something, I start to look at people. I'm like, oh, are you like, you're okay? Like, there's just certain little indicators that are given away. But this like takes it to a whole nother level of being able to just analyze our face to really understand, which is scary but also thrilling. I love the dark mirror of it all. I'm game for it. I know a lot of people have fears around the privacy and all that, but I'm like, I don't know, I guess I have nothing to lose. So yeah, this is a really, really interesting development. Like you said, what can this do from even a retail standpoint of that showing up in retail spaces?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a more granular level of things that we're trying to do already, right? So it makes sense. I mean, think about telehealth and televisits. I mean, my dad had been in the hospital, and he was at a critical access hospital, and the only hospitalist they had was, you know, a hospitalist rounding on a screen, on this big screen, coming into the room with somebody, you know, somebody there to help navigate and look and do an exam. So look at how far that has come, right? And so this feels like, okay, we're taking it down just yet another level.
Yeah. And it's not here yet, just to be clear. But one data point that I thought was really promising was the company Neurologic announced that with their contactless blood pressure measurements, they're becoming more accurate, and the standard deviation of error is less than 8 mmHg, which I'm not a doctor, so I don't remember what that stands for. But the point is, it's getting really, really accurate, and even for things like blood pressure. So we probably have years to go until this is a real deal, but it's being worked on.
On the horizon. But I'm speaking of retail, and there was like some updates around that as well. Chris, you want to share?
Yes, I know. In addition to CES, January is exciting because in healthcare, it means JP Morgan. And there was just all kinds of good stuff coming out of the JP Morgan healthcare conference. One that caught my eye as it relates to our funnel wars is just more movement in that area. So CVS plopped down $100 million to create a partnership with Carbon Health. So Carbon Health looks like it is going, and I should clarify, I think CVS led a $100 million investment. I'm not sure that they put all of that in themselves, but the bottom line is Carbon Health is one of the primary care disruptors. They are going to zero in more specifically on primary care and urgent care, and using those clinic models in CVS's drugstore and retail centers. So also looks like Carbon might have been struggling a little bit and is pulling back in some areas of where they were focused. And again, you know, more of that aggregation around the top of funnel and some of the non-traditional players. I don't know if we can call them non-traditional anymore. It's 2023. I mean, I'm thinking they're starting to become traditional. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah. I mean, the way that they're showing up all the time, it's almost like you think about, oh, digital versus traditional. It's like, well, digital is traditional now in a sense. But maybe Stephanie, you have a thought.
I love the hot take headline. New entrants are no longer new.
Chief storyteller at Revive, Stephanie Wearwell, right there.
But you make a great point, Chris, which is, okay, we've been talking about these folks as new on the new kids on the block for how many years? Let's move on.
Yeah. And I mean, it's especially important for us as, you know, healthcare marketers, leaders, in the sense of, you know, there is a big focus on primary care and these disruptors, these folks that are coming in, trying to weasel in on that. But still, at the end of the day, it's the health systems, the hospitals that have that relationship, that have that ongoing care, that can triage and connect with other specialty needs, that some of these entrants, not even going to call them new entrants, just people that exist, companies that exist, they just exist, that are trying to gain some of that market share. So, all right. All very interesting updates. Can't wait to see what is to come, especially from what we saw at CES. But getting into our topic for today, bold work, bold thinking. I'm going to share with you a couple of notes of things that we pay attention to at Revive as we're creating work, what we're thinking about to make sure that we are creating that bold work. So I'll start with, it's single-minded. You know, the more you try to say, the less people remember. So keeping it simple, any idea, big or small, must be focused. Authentic. We need to be able to tell the truth about a brand, but that truth should be interesting and compelling. So that gets into some of the insights that maybe we'll look at it at some of the examples that we'll share here shortly. It needs to be relevant. You know, if our work is not meaningful to people's lives, it will be ignored. So how do we make sure that it's culturally relevant, humanly relevant, it's inclusive, that it's touching on folks from a, you know, not only just the logistics and technicality of how they receive care, but, you know, emotionally, physically, what are they thinking about? And then being forward, you know, not, you know, don't rely on what works today. You know, be always thinking about tomorrow, the future, the innovative, and, you know, how we can set the standard for what's next and be everywhere. You know, great work doesn't always have to be an ad, for example. There can always be that opportunity for an experiential marketing, some direct engagement with consumers, meeting them where they are and those living, as well as solving thinking moments. And then just essentially all of this leading up to being bold, because being bold is uncomfortable, but it's interesting. Bold makes you look again. It makes you think and feel different. And it's scary, but it will make a difference. I'll stop there and just curious from some of you, you know, how do you think about some of these elements when you're thinking about what you're creating, what you're thinking, and maybe some insights you're pulling?
I mean, yeah, I'll jump in. I think, you know, I think one of the most important things that I like to focus on is that idea of being authentic, right? That, you know, authenticity and relevance feel so intertwined. I have to be both authentic to the brand, but, you know, also being relevant to people. We talk a lot at Revive about living, thinking, solving moments. And, you know, I mean, you know, people aren't thinking about healthcare except a lot of times when they need it, right? So how are we being relevant? How are we giving, you know, how are we putting our brand forth in a way that inspires them when they don't actually have to think about healthcare? So those are the couple that I really kind of key in on. I mean, all of them are important, but those are the couple I key in on.
Yeah, I love relevant too, in a slightly different lens, relevant and forward, in the sense of forever and ever, marketing and advertising has been based on what is your human truth? What is the cultural truth? And there's always, it used to be a universal truth. And I think as an industry, we've done a lot of introspection on, human truths are no longer universal. Maybe they've never been universal. but it's, what is the human truth that resonates with your specific target audience, no matter how broad or niche they may be? And what is society going through right now? How do you think about that from a psychological standpoint? To me, that's what relevant means, is it should feel fresh today and tomorrow, which is the forward. So not relying on what works today, but what's coming down the pike. And that's why I'm in this industry, is I love the psychology side of things, and I love the prediction, the crystal ball, right? What will we be experiencing as humans today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next year, and the next year after that? And that's the moving target to hit.
Yeah, I'll jump in and round this out. For me, it's the relevant, being relevant to various lived experiences and the opportunity to be everywhere, and then looking at surprising ways that we can show up, thinking about how, instead of, just being fed an ad, like, how many times we're able to, just be minding our own business and then being hit with something, whether it's experiential or, community related, that you just weren't expecting, that's going to touch you on a more personal level, where you're showing up in a person's everyday life rather than just when they're starting to think about, like, ooh, this knee hurts, I need to get this care. So with that, we're going to give some examples of work that we've ran across that ties into some of these notes. And I think, Chris, with you, I know you had mentioned authentic. I think that's something that really stood out to you. So what did you find?
Yeah, so it really spans authentic and relevance, because again, I think those two are pretty intertwined. It's work by One Medical, and it's actually from a few years ago, where they worked with a bear and a banjo, who's a songwriting duo, and it's a great example of. It's not just an ad. Essentially, One Medical looked at what's going on in this country with mental health and the fact that 1 in 5 people suffer from mental health challenges. And they really wanted a way to get the brand involved without being a distraction, without just being another yammering about mental health. So what they did is they used hundreds of anonymous posts in social media. So these are real quotes from people who spoke in social media talking about dealing with depression. And they engaged Bear and a Banjo to create a song. And there's a video, and I think you're going to put it in the show notes, right, Des? Or we can put it in the show notes, about how they made this. It's so inspiring. I get chills. I really like the music too. It's really cool. But it shows them how they were, and I have to describe it because this will hopefully compel you to go take a look at it. It shows them in the video of how they made this, with all kinds of little scraps of paper of the quotes just laid out on a table, and they were organizing them. And then, I think they were collaborating on kind of how they might make music and, use those words, to create the lyrics. And I really love this. I like what One Medical said about this. They said, "We created this song to destigmatize mental health issues. We want people to know they're not alone in their struggle." So if you just talk, again, I have goosebumps just saying that. And when you listen to the song, I hope you feel the same way. This wasn't an ad. It was, a genuine way to reach people. They also sponsored this podcast. So it was at the intersection, I'm assuming, of their target audience, right? The types of people who would be using One Medical, the intersection of mental health and music and just really kind of finding a new and interesting way to reach folks.
Yeah. What I love about this is it's sometimes it's fun, I think, with programs like this to think about how did they get there? What did the behind the scenes boardrooms, conference rooms, workshopping look like? And this is the kind of idea that there wouldn't have been a script to approve. Maybe there was, here's some of the lines that we found in social media. And there are things like, "I built these walls to hide my pain. Wish I could feel some type of emotion instead. No one likes me. They just tolerate me," right? Maybe there were some of those thrown up on the wall. Maybe there was a sample song created. I don't know. But One Medical and their team would have had to have a level of risk taking to be able to say, "We don't know what the song's going to be. We're going to contract Bear and the Banjo." I imagine they had several bands they thought about. "And we're going to see what happens." And that's so hard for teams, for clients, for brands. And really great work can come from a level of, let's take this risk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's such a great observation. The idea of being bold, right? Being bold also means that you have to be brave. And I think that's, you know, what you're trying to say is hard to take that step. But if you're not willing to kind of step out there and try something different, and even in the way you do different, right?
Yeah, totally agree. And I know in consumer brands, there's a little more opportunity to do that, to flex that. But with healthcare, it's really interesting to find that human moment, especially when it intersects with health. So with what I ran across similar in the sense of mental health, this was an ad for BetterHelp that was around what do you want? So yeah, like Chris mentioned, we'll post these links in the show notes. You can take a look for yourselves. But essentially, it's an ad, a commercial. There's a gentleman who is talking about, he's asked the question, what do you want? And he goes into all of the things that he's been looking for when it comes to, you know, mental health and the stigma and the fear of being able to share that. And then it cuts to at the end, his friend that was just asking what did he want to order? And it's like, oh, right. But that question is so important. It can be interpreted in so many different ways. But what I loved about it is that, you know, it really gets at what is actually on people's minds of what they need, what they want from health, from healthcare. And it ties directly into, you know, some of the research that we do when we're creating our strategy for work. There's some key insights that come out of the work. And essentially, specifically with this, this is for men of color. There were some notes around the fact that, you know, men know what they need to do in order to improve their health, but they need more of an action plan, that partnership and that clinician to help them step by step make that reality given, you know, their life, their lifestyles, you know, what they have going on as far as, you know, family and work and their own personal items. It's like, help me fit this into the work that I'm already doing in life. So yeah, when you're looking at it, it starts off one way and it goes this completely different way, which is what we've been seeing, of course, also in like some of the Dove commercials. But it's those moments that really hit on that human experience where you're like, yes, oh my gosh, I'm feeling that same exact thing. But yeah, that's what I found, and finding that way to tie that into knowing that, like Stephanie mentioned, you always have certain things that you need to do, like a print ad, a billboard, a TV spot, but also like, what else can we do? How else can we do some storytelling to get that message across?
I've been seeing BetterHelp show up in all the right places recently. Just yesterday, they showed up in my Instagram story feed through an ad, and it was a beautiful vertical video that was so relevant for what I was experiencing in life. It was all about not responding to people's text messages, because not because you don't have the time, but because you don't have this mental space. And then, and I mean, I watched that whole video and sent it to people I knew. And at the end, of course, it transitioned into BetterHelp and who they are and what they do. But talk about relevant, like you're on your phone, wasting time in your Instagram feed, not doing all the things you're supposed to do, probably feeling a certain way. It was great targeting.
Oh yeah, they've definitely been stepping their game up with all of any of the mental health apps with Instagram, because yeah, that's exactly the spot that we go to when we're trying to, I guess, numb out, if you will.
I think they're also a sponsor of the Good Life Project. I'm like 90% sure they're a sponsor of, which is a great podcast, you know. So again, showing up in relevant ways where they're going to meet their audience with, you know, in a way to really resonate.
Yeah, they show up in a lot of podcasts that I listen to, and they're my favorite podcast ads are when the hosts just talk about their experience with the product. So I won't share some of my, you know, celebrity gossip podcasts I listen to, but they show up in places like that where the hosts, you know, share, and that's awesome. So speaking of awesome, bold work, Apple has always been one that's done amazing, bold work since the early days in the 80s, and they've really set the standard for incredible scripts, incredible advertising. And they recently came out with a campaign called The Greatest. This was launched on November 30th, which was actually just a few days before one of the holidays that celebrates those with disabilities. So it was very timely. But the greatest is a video. I think it's about a minute plus, and it has an original music score. So music has been kind of a trend in what all of us have talked about. But it is celebrating the products that Apple has and the features, especially in the iPhone, that Apple has for those with disabilities. So features like door detection, where the iPhone can actually detect a door in front of you and help you get through it, or sound recognition that's for those with experiencing deafness, or voice control to be able to control things with your voice instead of your hands. So anyway, they have lots and lots of features, and it hasn't really been shared on a big scale. So the greatest is this really empowering, amazing, uplifting spot that shows people with multiple different kinds of disabilities experiencing life and really experiencing life victoriously. So the music is so heart pumping, and it's actually an original. It's an original score, and the lyrics are based on speeches by Muhammad Ali, who was an advocate for disability after he developed Parkinson's disease. And it's sung by the Australian core group, who is made up of Indigenous folks. And anyway, there's a really interesting story behind the music, but just really recommend everybody watches it because it's incredible. And I think what's awesome about it and what makes it bold is it's the first time I've seen people with disabilities celebrated in this way that's just so uplifting and so incredible. And to me, it shows what the human spirit can do.
Yeah, because I mean, we've seen so much around the fact that, yeah, folks with living with disabilities are not shown. Their experiences aren't depicted in the sense of, and if it is, it's more from this like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's more about like, this is everyday life for folks. And I love that, you know, that Apple, and of course, I know, I think it was like a year or two ago with Google Pixel, with their phone around skin tones and the camera and like the effects of that and how just important it is to feel, you know, seen and thought of. I can't tell you how many times like I've gone to take a photo and it's like a dark room and I'm like, honey, can I get a light? You're not going to be able to see me. But yeah, to your point, Stephanie, I appreciate so wholeheartedly that, you know, there's a focus on making sure that we're seeing folks who are disabled for, you know, the person that they are, living their everyday life, doing the things, and it not be this whole, I don't know, big brouhaha, I guess.
I mean, I also think too, it's so inspiring also because technology can be a great leveler. For as much as technology can divide, technology can be a great leveler. And I think that's also, you know, that's also amazing.
Yeah. And what it makes me inspired by from the standpoint of healthcare marketing is no matter what kind of healthcare organization you are, you have folks with healthcare needs. Clearly, that's why you exist. So how do you think differently, to use Apple's phrase, about what those folks experience? And it's not all, you know, awful. And I think that's something that's really interesting from an empathy standpoint, is to really understand no matter what kind of healthcare needs your patients or your consumers experience, what does their day-to-day life look like? What do they need? But also, what is that triumph of the human spirit that you can really bring out to show people in a different light than they've never been shown before?
Yeah, that should be another way to judge work, is does it give you goosebumps, right?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a health brand, but thinking about those things that give you your goosebumps or kind of exciting in ways you didn't expect, and maybe we'll talk about this on another episode, but the Liquid Death campaign, or even just how that product came to be around rethinking, you know, what does water, the branding of water look like, and also sustainability that isn't so like earnest, you know, in the sense that, you know, they came up with this idea of, you know, water in can that can still actually be recycled in like a lot of the single-use plastics, but then also just in the branding of it and the fact that it looks more like a energy drink or a beer than it does water, and you know what that says about, you know, how a person wants to show up and how water has been branded, for example. But we can talk about that on another episode. So yeah, this has been exciting, and we will wrap up this episode because we can talk about it for forever. But Stephanie, Chris, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Des.
And for all of you listening, thank you so much for joining in. If there's something you want us to cover, shoot us an email at nonormal@reviveagency.com. And make sure to share the show with your friends and colleagues and give us a review, preferably 5 stars, and a rating on iTunes. All of that would be very much appreciated. And until next time, don't ever be satisfied with the no normal. Push that no normal, y'all, and we'll see you next time. 3